Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Elena Ray, a member of the European Litigation Funding Team at Brown Rudnick. Elena represents litigation funders, private equity funds, and family offices on complex cross-border litigation funding transactions, including opt-in and opt-out group litigation, portfolio funding, law firm funding, and bilateral funding arrangements, in addition to secondary trading. Elena, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, John. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So we're going to be discussing the Litigation Funding Working Group. Now, in November of last year, Brown Rudnick launched this group, and the goal was to bring industry leaders together to launch standardized documentation or model documentation. So let me just start with maybe the most basic question here. Why is this particular issue of standardized litigation funding documentation, why is that so important that Brown Rudnick felt the need to really act on it in this way?
Well, we've been seeing a number of trends in the litigation funding market in Europe recently. This includes diversification of funders. So besides the traditional core litigation funders, more and more lenders are coming into this space, including debt funds, private equity funds, and family offices. This in turn helps to fund a variety of claims. So not just bilateral commercial litigations, but we are seeing a lot of IP litigation, litigation in cryptocurrency space, traditional class actions, but also now group actions against tech giants and social network platforms. So we had a few clients reaching out to us to review and update their in-house documentation to reflect recent regulatory developments, such as class actions, for example. And then separately, I guess as a lawyer with leverage background, I was comparing my experience in negotiating long LMA documentation with, you know, syndicate of banks for multi-billion financing and negotiating a much shorter litigation funding documentation. And it definitely felt that the former was much more efficient process because the parties were using model documents available for leverage markets. And then they had time to focus on commercial aspects of the transaction. So we started talking to our clients and contacts in this space, and I was really pleasantly surprised how many various stakeholders and players in the litigation funding space have found this initiative really relevant.
Let's drill down into the specifics of the working group. How will this documentation be originated? So let's start with who's on the working group. What will the processes be for, you know, taking suggestions and working through those? And also, how do you expect to get this model documentation to achieve sort of a critical mass of use within the industry?
Sure. So the group consists of professional funders, both traditional core members of ALF and ILFA associations, such as Harbor, Cirium, Augusta, Benchwalk, LCM, as well as family offices, private equity, distressed debt funds, and leading litigation funders, such as Northpool, Taconic, Galleon, Deminor, Ainsworth, Bybrook, Affinity. We also have insurance providers such as Litiker, Harbor, and others, institutional claimants like GT and BDO, and a number of leading law firms and barristers, again from traditional magic circle firms like Freshfields to focus litigation firms that originate class actions like Lee Dale, Slater and Gordon. And so the drafting process is based on our experience and my personal experience of working with the loan market association on drafting leverage finance documents and secondary trading documents for the relevant markets. And so we are trying to model it in the same way. So the initial draft is produced by lawyers and then sent out for legal comments to law firms and counsel, as well as funders, insurance, and other stakeholders. Then everyone provides feedback, and then, you know, the draft is revised, structural questions are discussed, and the view is to produce a balanced draft that reflects feedback from the whole market. This is something that is really important for us to really go through this process to ensure various views are reflected.
And Can you highlight the specific benefits of model documentation? How do you see this impacting the industry going forward?
I think one big benefit of the model documentation is that it will definitely help and speed up development of the secondary market. So we had clients looking at buying awards, and although the deal was commercially agreed and the client was comfortable with the merits of the claim and the litigation team, but the underlying documentation that was supposed to be assigned was so weak and it didn't contain any standard funder protections and could be terminated for even small breaches. So the client wasn't able to get it approved by its credit committee and go ahead with the deal. So we really feel that standardized documentation will help development of the secondary market. And I guess separately, just on a practical level, the working group has also become a platform where various stakeholders can discuss structural issues facing the market, such as relevance of consumer credit legislation, enforceability of the funder's fee, CFA, DBA arrangements, insolvency risk, and then share practical solutions, you know, get feedback from judiciary and counsel and relevant parties and work out a uniform market interpretation of those issues.
So a lot of the funders I talk to, you know, they note how cases they fund are they're so bespoke that the funding agreements themselves have to be bespoke, right, to match some of the case terms and what's happening in that specific claim. So is there any way to circumvent this with model documentation? How much room for flexibility is there in the model documentation?
Well, of course, any funding opportunity is bespoke. But if you think again about the Loan Market Association documentation and its use to fund completely different projects, from pipelines to companies to real estate to cryptocurrency, so the idea for the model documentation is to provide a really helpful and solid boilerplate provisions, which have all necessary protections, which have been tested by discussion in the work group, reviewed by lawyers and counsel and players in the market from different angles. So there is this high standard, solid reference and boilerplate, and then the parties can use it in their negotiation process, so they can really focus on commercial points and have much more time to get comfortable with the structural issues of the transaction and possibility of funders' return and others. And so, you know, really streamlining their negotiation process to be able to actually close the deal efficiently and in time with the deadline.
And how do you account for some of the variables such as, you know, jurisdiction or claim type or maybe the stage that a case is in when it approaches funding? How do you account for those variables?
So we are focusing on an English law documentation, but again, it can be used for various claims in Europe, and the same way it's used with the other contracts. And I think, you know, once this is produced, then it would be really helpful to have then a separate precedent for, you know, either class sections or boilerplate protections for funding a law firm or portfolio claims, or, you know, to account for specific jurisdictional issues.
And, you know, zooming out for a bit, on which aspect of funding do you see this having a bigger impact? Is it more on the financial terms or on the legal side in terms of increasing efficiency in communications between the parties?
I think it's both. So we are obviously targeting to improve the legal terms. But this, hopefully will give a good benefit to the negotiation process. And once, so the parties can use our boilerplate and focus to resolve their commercial issues, focus to structure the transaction correctly, and that, you know, to get the right type of insurance. And, you know, when your boilerplate provisions is there, when the parties know that they're protected by a balanced document, then the negotiation over the transaction goes smoothly and concentrates on, you know, focus that need attention from commercial perspective. And as you know, the deadlines are usually very tight for the parties. They sometimes have to bid against another party. So we think it's really important to, you know, streamline the negotiation and execution process, but without jeopardizing the standard and the protections that the parties would like to have for their transaction.
And so how far along in this process are you at this point? What has the response been so far from the members of the working group that you've connected with? And is there any ETA on delivery and an expected time frame of when this documentation will be complete?
So the response has been amazing. We've since we launched in October with, I think, around 15 core members, I now have about 80 emails on my recipient list. The group has been working very closely, going through various structural issues in setting up the documentation. The first set of model provisions will focus on insurance and relevant protections. So the first draft is with the working group, and we expect that, you know, the revised draft will be finalized in the next few weeks to be available for the market in Q2 this year.
Well, that's great to hear. It's great to hear about all this progress. I know certainly this is a topic that does come up a lot. I've heard it discussed at various conferences. We've talked about it. So it's great that you're tackling this head on. And Elena, we appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing all this information on the Litigation Funding Working Group and the benefits of model documentation.
Thank you, John. And we'll be in touch with a further update in this space. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. And if you would like more information on any of this, you can visit Brown Rudnick's website at www.brownrudnick.com. There is a press release there which has more information on the model documentation. So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.